What's up, everybody? It's your boy, Mucilaginous.
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 That is the word for when a food is mucusy. Or, you know, like wet and a little gooey. Or, as they would say in Japan, nebu nebu.
My dinner tonight was a block of tofu.
Is tofu nebu nebu?
I don't know. Tofu nebu nebu. What's the onomatopoeia for tofu? Okra's nebu nebu.
Yeah. Very mucilaginous.
What's tofu? Nuru nuru? Boingy boingy?
Boingy boingy.
Oh no, she confirms that okra is nuru nuru as well. But we still haven't gotten to the root of the issue, which is tofu, which she is assiduously avoiding. She's just... Tofu doesn't have a sound. They made a horn for it.
A horn for
you ever
tofu.
Seen the tofu horn?
No.
It's fucking awesome. So back in the old days, they would deliver tofu on bikes.
Okay.
And here's the box of tofu on the back, and your you know, little dude wearing his page boy hat. I'm setting the scene for the, you know, middle of the Showa period. And he has a horn that he grips with one hand so he can ride the bike with the other one, you know? Mm-hmm. And his hand acts as like a mute kind of a thing. And
okay.
So he's basically holding the horn by the bell, just in front of his face, kind of. And he blows into it. And when he does two notes, the second one higher than the first, and opens his hand, kind of, when he blows the second one. So it sounds like the horn is saying, tofu, like that.
That's so neat.
It's fucking adorable. So, yes, it has to have a sound, because it has a horn. Oh, and the horn also looks kind of like one of those old bike horns that went, you know, those things.
Yeah. The oldest tofu producer in the United States is located in Portland.
Oh, is that so? What are they called?
Ota.
Ota?
Yep, just Ota.
Just like the city I used to live next to. What do you know about that?
Ota tofu.
Shall we read a poem from A Light in the Attic?
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Shall We Read a Poem. I'm Russ.
I'm Lauren. Oh, Russ, your sound is weird. Hopefully it's okay on the recording.
Yeah, my waveform is normal. It's probably fucked
it's
up.
It's probably just Discord then.
Well, I sure am glad we had some outtakes last week so we could punt that one. How's your waveform doing?
It's still doing. We had to punt the whole last episode because I lost it.
Well, if you didn't listen to our last recording, I used what we had. And so there's a minute 45 of just normal episode content, and then I cut and I'm like, yep, that's
it's
it.
It's gone. I haven't listened
all
to
we
it.
Had.
I haven't listened to myself yet.
So enjoy these fucking outtakes, because that's what you get. Well, last week we read the bridge and then did a downer of an episode mostly because of me, so I brought extra content this time.
Fantastic.
So that I'm not a fucking downer. All right. I guess I'm reading this thing, eh? So this is The Bridge. This bridge will only take you halfway there to those mysterious lands you long to see. Through gypsy camps and swirling Arab fairs and moonlit woods where unicorns run free. So come and walk a while with me and share the twisting trails and wondrous worlds I've known. But this bridge will only take you halfway there. The last few steps you'll have to take alone. Illustration is a bridge. The bridge to nowhere. It is halfway done. Hanging out over, gypsy camps and Arab fairs. And there's a person gazing over the incomplete edge.
If it had a sidewalk, that would be where the sidewalk ends.
Hey.
You are mucilaginous today.
Mucilaginous. I had a hip-hop persona for a while called Preposterone.
I like that.
This poem features on allpoetry.com, and all poetry comes with interpretations.
Are they written by AI?
I think they are. I genuinely think they are. Here, let's read this. It does, yeah, this has a very AI feel to it. The poem The Bridge by Shel Silverstein presents a metaphorical journey through imagination. It invites readers to embark on a magical exploration, but acknowledges the need for personal effort to complete the journey. AI does that a lot. It makes compound sentences, but, like, regularly. The bridge represents the guidance and support that can be found in the world of literature, art, and fantasy. And Arab fairs, I guess. However, the poem emphasizes that ultimately individuals must take the final steps of self-discovery and fulfillment alone. This poem differs from Silverstein's other works in its introspective and reflective tone. It lacks the humor and lightheartedness commonly found in his children's literature. Instead, the poem explores the themes of personal growth, imagination, and the importance of self-reliance. The poem's imagery and language are evocative of the Romantic era, with its emphasis on nature, mystery, and the individual's quest for fulfillment. However, the poem's brevity and simplicity reflect the modernist aesthetic, which values clarity and conciseness.
Okay.
I've just figured it out. I always thought that these AI, like, interpretations sounded, like, they sound normal. Like, all the words have meaning, but it's just not quite right. Like, not quite human. Almost artificial.
Well, this could be. This could be somebody writing out of their ass, though, too.
It could be. It could be like a graduate paper or something.
Right.
But what it sounds like to me is Patrick Bateman.
Yeah?
Like, explain. When he's... Did you see American Psycho? Maybe back in the day? Okay, so...
I know he's really into some business card.
Okay.
Beveled edges or something.
So, before he kills people or does something bad, Patrick Bateman in the movie American Psycho and the book kind of fancies himself an intellectual. All of his opinions, that they're entirely focused on consumerism. He can't talk about anything that isn't consumer-related. And so, like, by way of example, right before he kills Paul Allen, you like Huey Lewis in the news? Their early work was a little too new wave for my taste, but when Sports came out in 83, I think they really came into their own, commercially and artistically. The whole album has a clear, crisp sound, and a new sheen of consummate professionalism that really gives the songs a big boost. He's been compared to Elvis Costello, but I think Huey has a far more bitter, cynical sense of humor. In 87, Huey released this, Four, their most accomplished album. I think their undisputed masterpiece is Hip to Be Square, a song so catchy, most people don't listen to the lyrics. But they should, because it's not just about the pleasures of conformity and the importance of trend, it's also a personal statement about the band itself.
It does sound kind of like that.
Yeah, that's the vibe I'm getting.
I still think it's somebody just writing out of their ass, though.
It says analysis bracket, then there's parentheses and it has AI.
Like, really?
It says it.
It says AI?
Well, it says analysis, then has parentheses, and in the parentheses are the letters AI.
Interesting.
So unless there's like some sort of author credit where it's like Adam Indigo or something.
Right,
you know?
Yeah. Oh, it is written by AI. I wonder where they got it, though, because they, like, AI has to take things
GPT.
From somewhere. So is it taking graduate or... probably not even graduate research papers and digging this up.
Well, why don't we see? Let's see if it says something similar when I try it. Give me an analysis of the poem The Bridge by Shel Silverstein is the prompt I just gave ChatGPT. There must be an older version of... ChatGPT or whatever they got this thing from, because this one is pretty... I'm not going to read the whole thing. The Bridge by Shel Silverstein is a short yet impactful poem that explores themes of connection, growth, and the passage of time. Through simple language and imagery, Silverstein creates a poignant metaphor for life's journey and the importance of relationships. Well, there you go.
Does it, though?
Oh, it's not the same bridge. This is a different bridge poem.
Like, the Shel Silverstein's The Bridge that we just read doesn't have a lot to do with relationships.
Or has it done that thing where it has created a poem that doesn't exist?
Maybe ask it to recite it.
Recite the poem, The Bridge. This is pretty cool. It's given me a poem that doesn't exist.
We'll read it.
This is great. Okay, so I asked ChatGPT to recite Shel Silverstein's poem, The Bridge, and what it gave me isn't anything, and it doesn't even match the poem, because in the first interpretation, it quotes the poem a couple of times, mm-hmm. and the quotes aren't from The Bridge, but then the bridge that it gave me doesn't have any of those quotes in it.
Interesting.
So we're on like three different poems right now. So the poem it gave me was, I've built a bridge from me to you and you to me across the sea. Now we can walk from shore to shore and never, never, evermore shall we be lonely anymore.
Yeah, that's not a very good Shel Silverstein impression.
No. That's great. Then if you Google that, you get Rob Thomas's Lonely No More, but those aren't the words to that. That's wonderful. This is the second time ChatGPT has done this to me. It also recommended me a movie once that didn't exist.
Yeah, don't they refer to those as like hallucinations, I think? Where it's referring to something that doesn't exist and it seems convinced that it exists.
Interesting. Ah! It's almost as smart as we are. But it damn sure lies better, that's for certain.
Well, I mean, it's not hard to catch it in its lies, though. It's very inconsistent. It can't even give you one poem and stick to that. They could have picked a poem and lied about it, but it can't stick to the same one through the same conversation. What are you drinking?
Oh, it's a weed soda.
Oh, okay. So looks it's like
Molo 10.
Looks like a Calpisu.
Milkus. No, it's called Molo 10. It tastes vaguely like, I guess, 7-Up, kind of.
All right. I'm drinking yuzu hard seltzer that tasted so little of yuzu that I just gave up and put yuzu extract in it.
It's like they went to the LaCroix school of flavoring.
Yeah, LaCroix, you can kind of see what they were getting at. This, I couldn't really.
Well, in reading The Bridge, I came with some bridge facts.
All right, let's hear a bridge fact.
Well, what do you suppose the world's longest bridge is? If you said the Dan Yang Kunshan Grand Bridge, you would be correct.
Just what I was going to go for.
It is 102.4 miles long.
Wow.
And it runs between Shanghai and Nanjing.
Wow. Wow. Yeah.
There's only one section that's over open water, though, and it is okay. only quote-unquote 10 kilometers long.
Okay. Trying to think about the longest bridge I've been over. Probably the Bay Bridge in Maryland that goes over the Chesapeake Bay.
Now, I realized my foolishness because when I Googled longest bridge, I was like, well, what would be a nice follow-up to that? That would be the shortest bridge, right? But me being an idiot, I was like, you know what? That's impossible to quantify because it's like, where do you draw the line?
Right,
where do
correct.
You like yeah. Hey, I put this log in my backyard over this creek. Like, right, that's clearly yeah. a short bridge. I don't know.
Did he give you the shortest bridge for a song?
Well, no. My punt for that was the world's shortest international bridge.
Okay.
So a bridge that connects two countries, but is also very short.
Which could also be a log over a river.
It could be. And this one very almost is.
I'm sure it's in Europe.
It's in Canada and the United States.
Oh, okay.
It connects an island owned by Canada to another island owned by the United States.
Is it in the San Juans, or is it on the East Coast?
It is St. Lawrence.
So in the East Coast. Well, sort of.
Yes. And the bridge itself is 32 feet long.
I'm pretty sure there are probably international bridges that are a log over a river in Europe.
There may well be. However, that was the shortest one that Google gave me. The highest bridge is also in China. It is called the Duge or Beipanjing Bridge. It's also decently long. It is 1.3 kilometers in length and is 565 meters or 1,854 feet above the Beipan River.
I don't like that.
That is so fucking hot. That's like a mile in the air.
I've been to over some pretty high bridges, but obviously I haven't been on that one, so I haven't been on the highest.
The lowest one is near the Dead Sea, as it turns out.
I imagine it's under sea level.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have two more bridge facts.
Oh, yes, please.
The other is one of my favorite scams of all time, which was called the Brooklyn Bridge Scam.
Oh, yeah. I have a bridge in Brooklyn to sell you, is the phrase.
Exactly.
Goes, I don't know the story behind it.
Ah, I'm so glad then. No, I was. I've been thinking about con men and how I've been seeing people, like, all loads of news stories about people getting caught up in, like, catfishing schemes, mm-hmm. or, you know, like, bail schemes.
Although,
scary
thing, speaking of AI, is somehow they replicate your... It would be very easy for them to do this scam for us. They replicate your voice using...
Yeah.
Yeah, and they call your parents or, like, help, I'm in jail or I've been kidnapped or something. And since, considering we do this podcast, it would be super easy to do that.
Well, let them try, because if I was calling my parents, they would know it wasn't me. So, George Parker... is the name of our con artist. And don't worry, because people have been exactly as stupid as long as there have been people.
Okay.
So it's like, I got catfished and I gave $1 million to somebody in Nigeria. Wow, how could you be so stupid? Well, don't worry, because that's just de rigueur for humanity. George C. Parker was a great con man operating out of New York City in the 1880s. And he would scout out usually recently arrived immigrants who didn't know, like, how things worked around there. And he would convince them that he owned the Brooklyn Bridge. And then he would sell it or parts of it to investors, big quotey fingers. And apparently once he made $50,000 off of one sale, which is extraordinarily funny. I don't know if that's adjusted for today's terms, but that's insane. They would then go and try to charge tolls to recoup their investment, and then the cops would stop them, and of course, by then, Parker was long gone. He was a con man his whole life. He probably didn't do this as often as people said he did, but it was definitely his most outlandish scheme. He was big on identity theft before identity theft was the end thing. He operated under at least 6 pseudonyms and eventually tried to pass a bad check. His past caught up with him, and he died at Sing Sing. So, there you go.
All right.
And my other one is about London Bridge.
Okay. Is it now, falling down? Falling down, My Fair Lady?
It is falling down. It did fall down, and it landed in Lake Havasu City, Arizona.
Hmm?
Exactly. So, when I say London Bridge, 90% of the people out there thought... of that one big bridge in London, and when that's London Bridge. No, that's Tower Bridge, so named because of its proximity to the Tower of London. The big one that you're thinking of that has the God Save the Queen playing in the background, that's the Tower Bridge. London Bridge by today, the London Bridge that is in London today, and the one called London Bridge, is really normal looking. It's just a bridge. However, that's not the first London Bridge. There have been a lot.
And so which is the one that was falling down?
This is the one that was falling down and was fallen intentionally.
Okay.
It was built in around about 1830. It spanned the Thames, as most of them do, because that's what runs through London. Mm-hmm. However, in 1968, the bridge was purchased by a maniac named Robert McCulloch, who lived in Arizona. And he planned to start a community in Lake Havasu, or what would become Lake Havasu City. He then moved the masonry comprising London Bridge from London to the United States. How this was cheaper than just building a bridge there, I have no fucking idea.
It probably wasn't.
But he did. Unfortunately, not all of the bridge made the parts and made the journey, and the only parts that are still standing today are the exterior masonry. The rest of it is like a concrete piling. It was built in 1971, and you can drive or walk across it today, which I've done. It is very hot, and there is nothing to see on either side.
And pieces of it are falling still, I'm sure.
And that's what I know about bridges.
There's a bridge near me called Bridge of the Gods, And it goes from Oregon to Washington over the Columbia River. And it apparently once was a natural bridge.
Oh.
And then it fell. And so then they put in a steel bridge instead. That's why it was called Bridge of the Gods, because it used to be a natural bridge.
Well, does this imply that the gods are now dead?
Maybe they don't own it anymore. I don't know.
My gods, why have you forsaken your creation? We only had the one bridge.
Another interesting bridge fact is the land bridge. When they talk about the bridge and the supposed land bridge that people came over during the Bering Strait, wasn't really a bridge. It was actually there wasn't actually water in that area at the time, because a lot of it was frozen up in ice.
Mm.
So it wasn't just that there was ice and going from, you know, from Asia to North America. It was actually a place where people lived, not a bridge.
What do you know about
that? Not a bridge. Place where people lived.
Oh, I forgot this fun part about George Parker's story. Eventually on Ellis Island, they started handing out little cards that said you can't buy bridges or buildings or streets to like all the new arrivals. Well, do you have any uplifting thoughts for our listeners?
Yuzu is a delightful flavor. You should get yourself a yuzu extract and put it in everything.
Did you see the TikTok for the guy who was dipping sushi in soy sauce, but he didn't read the label and dipped sushi in vanilla extract? That was funny.
Disgusting. How did you not? How would you not notice? How would you not immediately smell that?
The smell! I know, right? Maybe he had COVID. I don't know.
Yeah. I'll have to look that up.
Dumping vanilla extract into a soy sauce dish. That is going to waft like a fucking flame.